stage in their lives what the answer is to this question. How can you be successful and stay sane? Psychologist Oliver James is trying to answer it in a new book called Affluenza, great word, which he describes as a global tour of infected minds. Well, he's on the phone. The snow means he's not in the studio. But here we have the economic journalist Daniel Ben-Ami to discuss this with him. Now, Oliver James, how would you define affluenza?
It's placing a high value on money, possessions, appearances, physical and social, and fame. And people who put a higher value on those things in studies in 14 different nations have been found to be more likely to suffer from mental illnesses of all kinds. And the extraordinary thing I found in my book is that people living in English-speaking nations are twice as likely to suffer from mental illnesses as people living in mainland Western Europe. And the reason is because the English-speaking nations have much more of the affluenza virus than the mainland Western European nations.
So if you're talking about this affluenza virus, you argue that it causes things that could be described as mental illness. But you're making a broader point as well, aren't you? You're saying that it somehow is an infection, a contagion that causes unhappiness, ennui, all the rest of it.
I'm not so interested in unhappiness. I don't think the measurement of that is very significant. What I found going around the world for my book, I interviewed people in 7 different nations, and what I found was that exactly as the study suggests, if you place a high value on these things, you don't meet your basic psychological needs, like for intimacy or in relationships. Instead, you're constantly searching confected wants, the wants that advertisers and big business want you to want. And you end up, as Eric Fromm famously put it, having rather than being.
Let me just get a quick, before I ask you what you think the solutions are and we can move on to that territory, Daniel Ben-Ami, what do you make of that affluence does produce these terrible effects in people?
Well, I think what Oliver James is saying is deeply, deeply sad, because I think we've forgotten the enormous benefits that popular prosperity and affluence have brought to us. So, for example, if you go back to 1900, say, the average life expectancy in the world was only 31 years. Typically, people would live to 31 years. Now, even if you take the global average, it's mid-60s. If you take infant mortality, it used to be over 200 out of 1,000 live births. Children would die before the age of one.
But we're talking not so much about a rising level of prosperity, which gives people a proper standard of living and a longer life expectation, but that segment of society where acquisition has become so much a central part of being that it produces these effects that Oliver James claims to have identified.
Well, I mean, I think we have a paradox here, because obviously the attack on affluence doesn't take the form of an attack on the poorest people in the third world or even in Britain. It always takes the form of an attack on the richest of the rich.
And you argue that you can't improve people lower down the pile, as it were, economically speaking, without people at the top making a lot of money.
Not quite. I'm saying you've got to be very careful about attacking popular prosperity and affluence, because that has real consequences.
Right, Oliver James, you're attacking popular prosperity.
No, what I'm saying is that within developed nations, if you put too high a value on money, possessions, appearances and fame, you will be more likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, personality disorder and addiction. You are likely to be the sort of person called a marketing character, who you see yourself as a commodity and you see others as commodities, and you try and manipulate them in order to increase your value.
But
and
what about
that interferes with your intimate relationships. It stops you from being able to flow and enjoy your experience. Instead, you're obsessed with rewards and praise. And the implications for things like, say, our education system mean that we have all our children like little rats being trained in a maze, and the solution is for our society to, instead of the ghastly nouveau riche labour elite who've been leading us in completely the wrong direction, Blatcherism, the solution is in fact something along the lines of Denmark, where, for example, they encourage their children in the education system to work out what really interests them and pursue that, rather than trying to produce good little consumer producers.
Daniel Ben-Ami, what do you make of that?
Well, I think Oliver James has got a very bleak view of humanity, describing human beings as rats, easily led by advertising and marketing. And although it sounds very radical and, you know, very cool, what he's really saying is the age-old call of the Conservatives for people to be happy with what they've got. You know, be happy with the material resources you've got, be happy with your position in life, I don't see that as a positive thing at all.
Indeed, that's exactly what I'm saying. We really do need to start appreciating what we've got. That's exactly right. And there are some fundamental changes there that we should do in the English-speaking world, which they already have in the Western Europe, which is, for example, to start looking after our children. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, like in Denmark, we were able to share the care of our children instead of being workaholics? They only work 35 hours a week there. In Britain, we have the highest number of hours worked in Europe.
Do we work too hard, Daniel Benamy?
Well, again, if you look at the amount of hours worked over time, it's decreased dramatically, incredible decrease in the amount of work we do. And the reason for that is as we get more affluent, we become economically more efficient.
Surely high earners are working very hard, aren't they? No, working very long hours, high earners.
I think, no, if you look at the long-term statistics in terms of the number of hours worked, we're working less, not more.
No, that's not true since 1950. That's complete rubbish. Since 1950, we work more and longer hours. And in the English-speaking world, we work much longer hours, which is the key thing I'm saying. Is if I was saying there's a gene which shows that English-speaking people are twice as likely to be mentally ill, that is a quarter of us are mentally ill compared with only 11.5% in Western Europe, you'd be saying, good grief, a gene that proves this. Just because I'm saying it's a social process, it's very difficult to get people to take it seriously.
In one sentence, Oliver James, and you know, people can read the book, Affluenza, but what could we do politically, what could a government do, what could society do, quite simply, if your analysis is correct, to change direction?
If there was one single thing I would choose of all the many, it would be that we should pay the average annual wage to one or other parent to look after their children full-time or to share it. If you actually raise the status of being a mother from that of less than a street sweeper, which is what the status is at the moment, that would break the circle. It would mean that we'd start valuing the things that really matter, which is looking after our children.
That takes us into a whole new argument. Thank you very much, Oliver James, author of Affluenza, and Daniel Benamy here with us in the studio.